This is Bill Ayers on 95.5 PLJ. We're back with our Community Connection show, and we have two guests tonight. The first one is Marlena Fitzpatrick Garcia, and she is the president of an organization called the Immigrant Arts Coalition. And the second one is Carrie Behan, and she is the secretary. So welcome to both of you. I did a show with your organization maybe 6 months or so ago, but I know you've got a lot of good things going on. So before we talk about the organization as such, let's talk about the event that you have coming up. Do you want to start off with that then, Marlena?
Hi, thank you. So we have the Francesca Cernoslovin Immigrant Arts and Women's Empowerment Summit. Mm-hmm. It's going to start with a wonderful outdoor concert this coming Sunday at 4:30 at Robert Wagner Park in front of the... having the Statue of Liberty as the backdrop.
Oh, that's great.
It's going to be with a world music band. Its name is Cosmopolis Collective. It's an all-immigrant band. We're excited to have even a guitar player. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have Caridad de la Luz La Bruja, who's a very well-known spoken artist and rapper, and singer Kimberly Locke, and some dancers, and it's free. Everybody can come and enjoy a little bit of a solidarity and unity in music. And then August 6th to the 8th, we have assorted panels, talks, performances, and workshops. And it's going to end the 8th with the United States of Comedy at the Friars Club. And we have, I believe it's 12 comedians, all from different countries. Yes.
That's something. So the place to find out about this is immigrantarts.org. Is that right? Immigrantarts.org. Yes. So, folks, if you're interested in...
Yeah, you can get the tickets and, come by. And it will be at the Museum of Jewish Heritage. Mm-hmm. So, and right there in Battery Park.
Down Battery Park. Okay, so all those events are taking place there, but the free concert is next Sunday, and that's at a park, right?
Right there in Battery Park too, but outside, outdoor. And then the comedy event is at the Friars Club.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the organization, the Immigrant Arts Coalition. I know that you only started about a year ago, and you've done an awful lot, and you you work very closely with a number of organizations. So tell us a little bit. You can start off, Marlene, and then we'll get Carrie in here to talk a little bit about the kind of work that you guys do.
So right now we started in 2017, actually, because of the first as a result of the first summit. It was just Immigrant Arts in America, and then we got together and decided to formalize the coalition. Mm-hmm. Individual artists in other organizations, not necessarily just art organizations. We have people in solidarity too, and it's because this rhetoric going out there and also against immigrants, right? And there's also this watering down cultural workers and art as a whole. So and we decided just to come together and advocate for immigrants and immigrant art and immigrant artists like Carrie herself. And Carrie can explain more.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your history on this, Carrie.
My history on this is I am a multimedia artist, and I'm currently on a visa that many immigrant artists usually come in on, which is called an O-1 visa. Mm-hmm. It's an artist of extraordinary ability. And to actually maintain and receive this visa, you actually have to have an enormous body of work and resume proving that you're of a certain level, mm-hmm. that you're seen and cited as an artist of extraordinary ability, which requires a lot of work to do this. And so the immigrant artists that come here, especially if they come in on visas, one of the main things that we do try to help them with is coordinating and assisting those that want to come or those that are already here with the various stages with the international visas, because they're very complex. Mm. And it affects everything you do in it. We have diversity support. We encourage cross-communication through collaboration. We work with empowerment in the arts. We also work with artistic engagement. And all of this narrows basically down to what can you do for the artists. And this in itself, if you define it even further, it comes down to some very basic things like supplying the artists with space, helping out so that they can manage studios because they have to pay the rent on studios as well as their own apartments. There's development for the artists, trying to get them hooked into grants. You need to understand that at this point in time in the USA, not all grants are accessible to specific visa artists. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of complexities, and we tend to, as I said, cross-collaborate and really try to, the focus is to try and help with the workshops and the panels that we're having to really open the door to institutions and those governmental bodies that can help as to how we can improve the situation for immigrant artists.
So, folks, I bet you didn't know that we have an awful lot of immigrant artists right here in the New York area. Give us a guess as to how many people you deal with every year, Carrie.
Well, Marlena, I have no clue. But
go ahead, Marlena. You got
I work with artists, immigrants and Native American, you know, Americans, citizens and all that. And New York is very rich because of that cultural background, whether they're immigrants or first generation or second generation.
Sure.
And which, by the way, we do have many coalition members that are first generation and second generation, mm-hmm. That are in solidarity, but they, because their parents actually migrated. So we always try to keep the diversity and the inclusion a part of our agenda and our mission. So, I mean, you don't have to literally have to be on a visa to be part of the coalition or to be advocated for. We also, you know, foster inclusion. And actually, the guitar player, for example, is a first generation. His parents came from India. So this is a rich place and fertile ground for artists of all mediums and media. And I'm sure that that number is probably more than six figures.
Wow. Okay.
And also, what I know also, that we are more than numbers, so I don't care.
Bill, there's a beautiful description by one of the performing musicians from the concert on Sunday, mm-hmm. Tita Che. She's a musical director of Cosmopolis Collective and the violinist of the Grammy Award-winning matriarchy band Fleur de Tolache. Did I say that right?
Fleur de Tolache, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she supplied the most beautiful comment. She said, "We as musicians, dancers, and artists come together to show that traditions of immigrants have bolstered and generated the true beauty of American culture."
Well, that's certainly true. And I think anyone who knows what America is all about recognizes the tremendous richness that immigrants have brought to our country, because most of us come from folks who came from someplace else. And
right.
Also the same thing with artists. We've had artists from all over the world come here, visual artists and musical artists and all kinds of artists that you can think of have come here and made a major contribution. But with the situation that we have in our country right now, with a kind of anti-immigrant president and a lot of members of Congress who are not too keen on immigrants, it's a bit of a struggle that we didn't have before. Would that be what you're hearing?
Very much
definitely.
So.
Okay, so what are some of the obstacles that are out there for artists now that perhaps weren't there a couple of years ago? Immigrant artists. Does it have
Marlene,
to do
you
with,
take this
with,
or shall I?
Does it have to do with paperwork? Or
well,
what?
I would be, me working particularly that on the legal aspect of it, I would say that like Carrie was explaining with the O-1 visas and mm-hmm. HB-1 visas, it's becoming a lot more difficult to get them. It also, one of the immigrant artists, part of the coalition, was explaining to me that also currency is an issue, and nobody thinks about these things, about how currency from your you know, native country, probably how it affects the economy, because a lot of these artists receive grants from their home countries. Mm-hmm. And when the economy is not well, then they don't get that much funding for the work. So it really affects, it's a domino effect whenever we have immigrant artists that are coming here for the work, but are also still dependent on those grants or representing, you know, their native countries here, a lot of them. I don't know if that's your case, Carrie, but I personally know many artists that get embassy or work, particularly German artists have grants like that. And another thing is, of course, like, you know, we are in a very politically tense era. Mm. And it's becoming a lot divisive of some of this work. They don't want to come out and do these exhibits and all of that. So one of the things we're doing with the summit is providing that safe space. And actually, we have a panel. I'm personally going to moderate one about recording artists that have been a lot more fearless about this, and they say what they have to say in their albums, because I cover music. Mm-hmm. So you have some that are very daring and very outspoken, but others have been a lot more secluded and trying to fence out anything that may single them, put it on their microscope. And, you know, fear of deportation for no reason, stuff like that. So I think it's time for us to be in solidarity, whether we're immigrants or not, and protect our brothers and sisters, whether mm-hmm. they're artists or not, just immigrants as a whole.
Sure.
Because we all are contributing to society, and we really do need to be compassionate and unite and be in solidarity with each other.
So what are some of the obstacles, apart from the immigration issues that you talked about, what are some of the obstacles when an artist comes here from another country and they have some support from their native country, but maybe they don't? And how do you help them to get connected?
Well, there's a bevy of issues that come up, especially if you're from a country where the currency is not going to hold up in the States
right.
very long for you. The cost of rehearsal space in New York alone is astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of renting an apartment,
the cost
of renting a studio on top of the apartment, mm-hmm. and then buying your materials, and then the cost of living. Add this all together. If you don't have a good fiscal sponsorship or some kind of support system behind you, it's virtually a very difficult place to try and present good work, because you have to instill hours to make work of high standard. That's
sure,
just the way it
sure.
is.
Yeah.
So just the most basic things become really very difficult for a lot of artists.
So let's say you're dealing with 100 artists. I'm just making that number up. I know you deal with probably more than that, but of that 100 artists, how many of them would come here with some sort of stipend or some sort of support from their native country?
Well, on an O-1, for example, it's very difficult to enter without sponsorship, fiscal sponsorship,
okay,
so to speak. So you basically go through a long set of procedures to even prove that you are fiscally sponsored and do have someone that's willing to stand there for you and say that you're part of their community and they're willing to make sure that you have a living wage while you're working with them. So you actually can't enter without some proof that you can support yourself or you're being supported. But the fine line between how that actually plays out when it comes down to how much it actually costs to be in New York or any big city in the States, you know, that's a very gray area. There's not that many artists that can, for example, do their artwork in their bedroom or in their apartment. A lot of artists, sculptors, painters, metal workers, performance artists, they need another area or they need a place where they can make noise. So, you know, your fiscal sponsor may certainly be able to provide you with some help with your studio space, but then what about your rent?
Sure.
You know, it really does boil down to your covered, you're given support, but if we're going to be real about this, the support is not going to be able to cover what is actually necessary to fulfill the kind of body of work that you do have to prove. Every few years, you have to go in and represent your entire new body of work with press and a lot of media backup to show that you've maintained this extremely high level of extraordinary artist.
Ooh, this is a challenge. This is Bill Ayers on 95.5 PLJ on our Community Connection show. We have two guests tonight, and they both work with an organization called the Immigrant Arts Coalition, the Immigrant Arts Coalition. They've been around only for a little over a year, but they're trying to work with probably 100 or 200 artists who come from other countries and are trying to grow their work here and to have some sort of a livelihood. So these folks are helping many, many artists from other countries to get started. Now, Carrie, you were just talking about some of the obstacles. Tell us a little bit of your own story, and then I want to get one from Marlena as well. How did you get here, and how did you find support? And you're a multimedia artist. Tell us what that means.
In my case, multimedia is a combination of video and film, music composition, and paint, as well as performance art. And the reason that I have such a diverse set of skills is because I initially trained, I was born in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. I got my way to London at a very young age because I wanted to study drama and dance. And after that, I took myself to Australia where I studied film and television. So mm-hmm. I had an arts background, and then I moved into a technical background. I hooked up with an Australian multimedia group that were back in the very early 80s projecting imagery all over the stage and performing with it, which at that time was still using film, not video, and mm-hmm. Real cinematic projectors, not video projectors. And in that time, I moved to Berlin with them. We got involved with the Berlin art scene there and were doing a lot of work. And I, because I was a film and television trained editor, became an editor in news and documentary for German television. So I had what you call a day job. Mm-hmm. And the day job led to my being informed about the situation and the plight of refugees, because in the time I was working in the news and documentary, there were various genocides and wars occurring that the cameraman I was working for or the producers were covering. With that, I left the industry and I moved to cabaret in Berlin and painting and performance art. I got a record deal with BMG and Universal for one of my records, and I stopped off in America to visit a few friends and have a look at the whole New York scene. And just to cut to the chase, as a child, I'd been fed on a crazy father who constantly played 45s of Motown, Louis Armstrong, Benny Goodman, Richard Harris, Hair and Superstar. And then I hit London and found the injury, the Clash and the Pretenders and the Order. So by the time I got to America, I felt I felt soul for the first time mm-hmm. in my sneakers through the pavement. And I realized that my time in Berlin was over. My time with Nick Cave and Berlin Operatic was over, and I needed to come to the House of Soul. So that was my initial reason for coming here. I did have entry because I had a deal with Universal and BMG Records, so that qualified me as a high-level artist. And it was in that time I started doing performance art, and I was taken under the wing by a company called Go Productions as a fiscal sponsor. And they have been a not-for-profit service that have been creating, producing, and managing performing arts projects for 30 years in New York.
Hmm. Well, I've been involved in media in New York for probably about 45 years, and I didn't know about them, so I'm glad to know about them. And they've obviously helped lots of people, right?
Yes, they're a smallish company, but when they do help, they help in such a profound way of fulfilling virtually everything they can do for you to help you get through. And it's a very small team, but it really very phenomenal. It's spearheaded by a woman called Bonnie Sue Stein.
Marlena, tell us a little bit about your story. What brought you to the Immigrant Arts Coalition?
Well, I've worked for entertainment. Well, I've been in the entertainment industry for 24 years now, mm-hmm. But I've mostly worked with the unions. And for many years, I was the Spanish language media industry relations manager for the Screen Actors Guild at the time, before merger, and then SAG-AFTRA. Mm-hmm. And I worked mainly with actors that work in telenovelas and anything in Spanish, and taking care of that bargaining unit on not only on a national level, but also creating those bridges with Latin America.
Mm.
And well, before that, I was working in music too, and with musicians that like Carrie that have, you know, they toured a lot. And doing those visas, going from country to country, because, you know, people think about visas coming here, but Americans have to do the same thing to actually go touring to other countries, right?
Sure.
So I've seen firsthand the injustices in labor. I've been an arts activist all my life, basically. My father was a flute player. So, well, particularly for labor, right? In this very, very freelance-based type of work, creatives work for writers, dancers, actors, musicians, you name it. So when I'm now representing musicians, when they asked me the outreach to the local of the American Federation of Musicians and invited me to be the welcome keynote about these issues, and that's how I got involved. And then suddenly,
that's great.
Now I'm full time.
Well, you both have wonderful stories. I've been a member of the union here for, well, I guess, probably about 37 years. First, AFTRA, and now Screen Actors Guild as well. So
there you go. Well, I'm president of my own union too. So
okay, all right.
So I've been very involved. We have negotiations tomorrow. So mm-hmm. Now we're having the negotiations with the Met that we're handling, and God knows where that's leading. We kind of already know. But tomorrow I have my own private negotiations with our union. So, it's one of those things. But because I'm a natural negotiator, and I get I'm also a very strong fighter, is I said, okay, let me go ahead and take this on. And continue my activism.
Well, good for you. Good for you.
Thank you.
The other part of my life has been working with an organization called Why Hunger that was started by an artist, Harry Chapin, who was a singer and songwriter, and myself back in 1975, and I'm still with that organization. So I've been working, you know, trying to help people who are hungry and poor, and working with a lot of artists at the same time. We have a program called Artists Against Hunger and Poverty, and we have lots of very famous artists in it, but also others who are struggling and new artists who we work with as well. So I kind of know where you're coming from, and that's, I think it's a wonderful work that you're doing. So let's get back to, since that's the history for both of you, and you're both artists and you're both working in music and several other art forms. What brought you to the Immigrant Arts Coalition?
Mine was an invitation to speak on a panel last year at the summit before the actual coalition had actually been fully formed. It mm-hmm. It was the first year. It was an idea, and I was invited by Mottl Didner from the National Yiddish Volksbühne mm-hmm. Theater,
sure.
And he invited me to speak on a panel about immigrant artists. And after that, I found myself brought into the coalition as the secretary.
Okay. Now, and how about you, Marlena?
I was, like I said, I was outreached through the union.
Right.
And it was immediately like, oh, we need a welcome keynote. And I said, sure. And I did it. I mean, it's hard to find people that can talk about the ELC and affirmative action and diversity and inclusion when we talk about creative work, because on the legal aspect, it's different, right? So mm-hmm. Then do not the traditional route of corporate America. So you can go ahead and be the welcome keynote. I was like, sure, and I spoke with them, and I did it. And then suddenly I was invited to, like Carrie, I was invited to partake on some of these meetings. And now I'm president.
How did that happen? Wow.
There you go.
That's the way it happens.
Can I just say thank heavens she's president.
Yeah, okay.
Seriously.
Good.
And thank heavens Carrie is secretary.
Okay. Well, it's great. Yes. It's a mutual admiration society.
It is.
let's get back
to beautiful language. She's a great writer.
Let's get back to the not just the coalition, but also the conference that's coming up. Let's have you talk a little bit more about what's going to be happening. I know there's a free concert on August 5th at Robert Wagner Park. And tell us who's performing there and how people can get to go.
So, I mean, anybody can go. You take the train. I know that the one ends up there is off ferry.
Right.
So anybody can come. It's going to be suitable for kids and all of that. So Tita Che, who carried at Notion before, is a musical director. She's the first and only Korean to win a Latin Grammy with Flores Dolache, and she assembled this group of formidable award-winning musicians. But she was very, very careful in fostering diversity and inclusion, right? So, you know, to have a balance. So we have Neil Murgai, who is, like I said, he's first generation here, but his family migrated from India.
Yes.
He's a guitar player, undertone and overtone singer too. He won't be doing that at the concert, though. He will be playing guitar. Then we have award-winning percussionist and music producer for Ruben Blades, and his name is Felipe Fournier from Costa Rica. He plays percussion and drums. We also have, I'm sure I'm butchering his name, but Korean percussionist Jang Ho Seo, or Seo. And then we have Carolina Calvache, is also an acclaimed jazz pianist from Colombia. We have the great Mr. Elias Meister, very well-known German guitarist. He's part of the Residente band, and he will stop in New York to play with us. So we're excited about that. And then we have two dancers, Argelia Arreola and Insu Park. And there's going to be like a little battle of drumming. So there's going to be Korean drumming and bomba drumming and with the dancing. And so it's going to be Puerto Rico and Korea represented in this piece, and, you know, to get everybody going and have that little, you know, friendly battle with dancers. I'm sure. Oh, and then we have bass. I knew I was forgetting something because that never happened. And then Edward Perez is a bass player and upright bass and electric bass. So we are really excited with the lineup.
You got a lot of great musicians there. Woo!
Yes. We have great musicians.
What time does the concert start?
4:30 to 5:30. And then we have Kimberly Locke, who's going to sing. And Caridad de la Luz, who's going to rap a little. She's going to MC. And so we're packing really an exciting run of a program. Because
it's got to be more than an hour, right?
It's going to be just an hour.
You're kidding.
But it's going to be nonstop, because what we're trying to do is with the music and the way the show is being produced is to, you know, do a little like a mini trip around the world with different as many beats and rhythms of different countries as we can. It is hard. I mean, it is hard to pack.
So why are you only doing an hour?
That's what we were allowed to do.
Oh, that's terrible.
I wish we could do more, but hey, consider it a teaser. And then, you know, we can have a 2-hour show later on, I hope. Yeah. But I will say this, we're going to also, there's going to be a premiere of a song written by Selena Gray and produced by Mark Ethan and sang by Kimberly Locke called Carry On. And it was a very basic, you know, pop song that Sita Che took and arranged it for world music with a sitar and everything. So nobody's heard it like that. So we are holding our breath and see how the Latin thing and the sitar with the Indian thing are going to mix in this. So it's going to be great. I mean, I'm really excited.
Yeah, it sounds
with it with just an hour. It's like, can we do an entire festival? Well, we can't.
Okay.
I know.
So I know that there are a lot of folks who listen to us who are musicians, who are artists of all kind. So I just want to tip you folks off to this free concert. And it's next Sunday at 4:30 at the Robert Wagner Park down in Lower Manhattan. And it's free. And I think one of the great
things... Come comfortable. Let's dance.
Okay.
It's going to be... Yes. So then we have a couple of panels. You know, starting in August, we have two keynote speakers, one for each day. Ariana DeBoss, who's the Tony Award-nominated actor for the Donald Summer Show. Mm-hmm. She's going to give us a wonderful welcome. And Attorney General Barbara Underwood will be our welcome keynote on Tuesday. So from, you know, we have great guests, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's going to be on Tuesday morning in a panel. Lindsay Beierstein is going to be one of them.
Let's remind people who she is. She just won a big, big primary over in Bronx
the Bronx
and Queens.
The Bronx and Queens,
yeah.
Yes. She will be my representative because I live in the Bronx. So.
Well, she is a very exciting young woman who I think is going to make a big impression in the political scene. So you get to.
She is already making a big impression.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
As a matter of fact, I was lucky. I've known her for some time. And, mm-hmm. and before this all, you know, exploded, we had a conversation and I said, hey, I'm doing this summit. Oh, I would love to participate. And then suddenly it followed up. And it's like, oh, I have a new tier. So I was like, oh, this is serious now.
Good, good.
So she'll be in a panel on Tuesday morning. And, you know, we have a great, my particular panel, which is called On Broken Records, we have Rodrigo Starz from the duo, hip-hop duo, Rebeldías. We have Audrey Funk and Roxini, who are two of the most sought-out Latina, you know, musicians, recording artists. We have one panel that I'm actually very excited about economy, which we talked about, because people think about culture and art as a nicety, mm-hmm. right? And it is an economic necessity. Innovation is absolutely, we are not living in a manufacturing world anymore. There is still that, but we are more in an innovation type of economy. And for that, you need art. So we're going to have a panel that is going to discuss this. Of course, you know, scratch the surface because this is a whole, you know, lengthy conversation at best, a conversation at the very least. But we have Lily Gil Valeta, who's a business journalist. And then we have another artist from India. He's a scientist and works at the University of Connecticut, but he's also an author. Going to be in that panel for art, no innovation, economy. We have the female panel that I talked about with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ruth Messenger.
Oh.
Yes, they're going to be in that panel. On Monday, we have one that I'm also very excited about. It's called Our Truth and Embracing Cultural Identity. It's probably one of the most diverse panels I've ever seen. Let alone put together. And it really is very exciting because it is about breaking stereotypes, which is incredibly important to have those conversations because people don't, you know, how can I say? We continue to create content that permeates the stereotypes, no matter what that is, right? And you see the gangster and the hystericals and the humble, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So this one, we have the world-renowned Dr. Marta Moreno-Vega, the founder and president of CIGADI, the Caribbean Cultural Center of African Diaspora Institute. We have a transgendered actress. Her name is Denise Turkin. She's Turkish. Neil Morgay, the sitar player we talked about, he's the artistic director of the Brooklyn Raga Massive. And then we have a musical director of Filipino descent from Kinky Boots. And Penny Pun, of Asian descent, is a playwright. So this panel has a little bit of everything. Has the musicians, has the actor, has the, you know, the nonprofit, a business administrator that works with arts. We have the writer. So we wanted to cover as many.
Cover all the bases. Well, I think you have.
Cover all the bases to talk about this.
Now, all of this is taking place.
And more importantly, we have Carrie Behan is going to perform. What Carrie can tell you about her performance.
All right. Well, let me just tell you where this is going to be, folks. It's the Museum of Jewish Heritage, which is 36 Battery Park, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it's all everything except the concert is taking place there. And it's at the Museum of Jewish Heritage, 36 Battery Park. And it's downtown, obviously. You can get all the information by going to immigrantarts.org, immigrantarts.org. And the all of the information that you're hearing now, you'll be able to see it and make a decision as to what panels you want to go to, and certainly you want to go to the concert. So
and it starts at 10, finishes at 4 on the Monday and the Tuesday.
Okay. 10 to 4.
And don't turn up without a ticket or an RSVP.
Okay, so you got to plan for this, folks. Now, this is Bill Ayers on 95.5 PLJ. This is our Community Connection show, and we have two guests on tonight that you've been hearing us talk about, and they both are involved with the Immigrant Arts Coalition, which is just a relatively new organization, only about a year old, but they're doing some amazing things. And you've heard so far Marlena Fitzpatrick Garcia and Carrie Behan talking about the organization, talking about the event that they're having, and then also talking about their own work. And I want to get back to Carrie for a minute, because you're a multimedia artist. And tell us some of the things that you're working on now. You began to do that before, and we didn't get to finish it. Tell us some of the work that you're doing and how people could get to see and hear your work.
I'm actually performing at the summit on Monday, the 6th of August at 3:15 p.m.
Ah.
I have a 70-minute theatrical multimedia piece that I have culled down to 15 very quick minutes. So, you know, it'll be a whirlwind. My current show is about displacement. It's basically exploring when immigrant artists leave their quiet rooms of contemplation. And it covers three decades and the stories of non-fictional stories or the autobiographical stories of artists over three decades.
Well, we've had a very, very rich experience here in New York over hundreds of years now of immigrant artists coming here and really creating wonderful new art, some of which they brought with them and some of which got created here. Now, you've created art all over the world, Carrie. What
yes.
This piece that you're doing now, was this created here since you've been in the United States?
That's a really good question, because I actually did the first tiny, tiny preview in a little club in Berlin just to test the waters. But It came together here in the States. It had been brewing for a long time. I had not felt the need to talk very much about my past working as a news and documentary editor before in my art. But with the plight of immigration at this point and refugees, it suddenly became a strong point for me. And from there, I was able to literally take myself back 30 years to my early days in Berlin, Germany, and start to relay the story of myself and a fellow artist who defected from the former Czech Republic in 1978, our trajectories and our journeys. And I ended up in Mexico, just 6 miles short of the border from Arizona, in a small town called Bisbee, and then the Mexican town was called Naco, Sonora, and that was in 2016. And I was filming murals painted by Mexican children, painted on the wall on their side, obviously, and they'd covered 1 mile over a period of 7 years with activist artists coming in from Bisbee, Arizona, and bringing in all the art supplies. And it was basically filming that and interviewing one of the artists that this entire story that I'm now presenting about the artist came through. They gave me an artist residency. I was able to put everything up on big chalkboards in this old room and start to write down this the common thread between Berlin, wall back then, and suddenly I'm seeing a mural in 2016 that says First Berlin, now Naco, Sonora, this tiny little town in Mexico. And I'm like, I had chills. I was like, it's time to write this down. So, yeah, it came out in the USA, but it's a long, long journey to get here.
So who are some of the artists that both of you are working with now who have left their countries not because they wanted to, but because they had to get out because of political oppression of one kind or another? Do you have any stories along those lines? I would suspect you probably do.
I think Marlena's probably got 10,000, but just to relate to my performance, Vít Hogé, who's the director of the Czechoslovakian American Marionette Theatre and who is in my show, mostly on film as an MC, he defected from the former Czech Republic in 1978, which meant crossing the border between escaping from the Czech Republic and getting to Italy and then trying to cross the border into France and facing the absolute fear of knee-deep in snow at the border, thinking he's going to be shot any minute.
Sure.
So he's in my show, and Marlena, I'll let you take it from here because she really does have a lot of people.
Well, I wouldn't put anybody on a spot like that, so it's hard for me to answer that question without, you know what I mean, kind of like even pointing out someone that I shouldn't be putting on the spotlight. But I will say that the one of the panelists with me, Rodrigo, and his brother, that they created that hip-hop duo, Rebeldía, they escaped from Pinochet's. They're Chilean, and they escaped, their family escaped Pinochet's regime.
Sure.
So, and that's why they've recorded, they have a new hit with Ana Tijoux, who also, she now lives back in Chile, but she escaped Pinochet's regime. They moved, her family moved to France. So, but yeah, I've worked with many, many artists that are, you know, they even asked me, please just use this name. Do not say my last name, stuff like that. And
sure.
Live in fear. And still, even here, still live in fear. So it's one of the things, it's interesting because one of the things we're probably going to talk about that in the panel too is recently Victor Jara, who was a folk singer in Chile, was murdered by Pinochet's regime, right? Last week or 2 weeks ago, 8 of those murderers were finally sentenced many years after. And one of the discussion is that a lot of journalists and artists have had, like Federico Garcia Lorca, too, were given the ultimate punishment for saying what they have to say. And again, a lot of people don't talk about these things that many artists are journalists too. When I include journalism in there, because for some reason spoken, you know, the word in the narrative ends up being such a powerful weapon that it becomes a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And some people pay with their lives.
Well, I know the story of Victor Jara, and he was very influential with my partner, Harry Chapin, who I started Why Hunger with. Harry was a singer and a songwriter, but he was very political as well. And Victor Jara had a big influence on his music and on his social activism. So a lot of these folks who come from different places and sometimes don't get out of them, like Victor Jara and others, have an influence that goes way beyond their life and death because they become, in a sense, martyrs for a cause. And we're seeing that t-